We kick off hour number two of the program here live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some Truly this week. I mean, it's really good for any occasion. Only 100 calories.
Truly it is.
Yeah. It's Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Davey wants his flag back. No, you're keeping it? That's what we should have done on Saturday. Done.
Just it's another it. Flag.
You got to throw your hat. Oh, don't have a hat. Sorry.
I'll chuck a pin at you.
Please don't. Those are dangerous. It could hurt my eyes.
Don't throw a full water bottle like the South Carolina fans did. The SEC officials.
I'm ready.
Don't walk 40 yards away. Drive it at my feet.
Muschamp wanted to throw hands.
He was ready.
I think Pruitt did too. Maybe they'll fight each other at halftime.
Who gets the bad calls this week? The official will be like, I don't know what to do. There will be no penalties this week on
Tennessee
either team.
In a bowl game.
Ever.
Well, it took forever to
see the... Oh, his ball was great
was
throw.
Nice.
Great
the
throw.
First
even had
flag
the sound effect.
Mississippi State, we went like a whole half without a flag. Might have been one. And then you got what you saw last
Saturday.
Did
you hear Pruitt after the game?
Night.
He's like, coming into this game, I believe we were the least penalized team in the SEC. Imagine that. Then it was 11? 11 penalties?
Mm-hmm.
How many were just random or phantom?
No, I don't know. They called
like a lot.
I wanted to get to some of the reaction on Twitter, and we're getting to the phone lines here in just a second as well. But they had that one play where they called three penalties all on Tennessee, all in the same play. I've never seen that in my life.
I'm telling you, they didn't get the memo as to who was to call the flag there, so they all threw it.
They all
thought it was their turn.
Vol Nation Recruiting sent that in.
Tennessee had 13 penalties for 93 yards. Alabama had 8 penalties for 93 yards, so 93 yards for both teams.
That's what I'm saying, though. They evened it up at the end to make it not look so bad.
Caleb asked, was it legal for the refs to review the spot of the ball and then call a target on Batuli? Yes, that's legal. I didn't have a problem with the target on Batuli. That's targeting against anybody. I hate the rule. But they didn't, cheat the rule in that case. They called the rule the way it was, the way it's on the books, which is still annoying. But, I mean, at the time, I was kind of glad. I was like, yeah, okay, let's just rest up Batuli for South Carolina.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I'm not a huge fan of that either, though, because Judy was, basically diving for the end zone. Like,
right.
What is Batuli supposed to do? What is a defensive player supposed to do to keep the offensive player out of the end zone?
That's why I don't like it.
I mean, it was helmet to helmet contact, but again,
he's trying to hit him with his shoulder, and then he happens to lean with his right shoulder, and that puts his head towards Judy's head.
I mean, you can't go low like that and not take your head with you. Like, it's just,
tell me about it.
Exactly. We should have them start leading with their feet.
Yeah, just kick them. Kick them. Donnie tweets in and says there were 13 enforced penalties, 18 flags thrown on Tennessee.
Sheesh.
18 flags thrown. Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
Well, we haven't gotten into the big moment of the game that everybody wants to talk about.
The piece de la resistance.
But before we do that, we're going to get to the Next Door Home Group hotline and grab Matt. What's up, Matt?
Oh, man. What are you guys about to talk about? The lights? Is that the next LEDs?
No. The quarterback going Superman.
Yeah, going
calling his own shot.
Going old TSR Rogue.
Yeah. I'll definitely.
Or Rouge, as a lot of people.
I won't even touch that then. Wow.
No, you can. It's fine.
Oh man, I don't want to go down that road, dude. I don't want to get you guys fined.
Blood pressure getting a little high.
Yeah, I already feel that.
That's why I wanted to wait on that one, Matt, because I was redneck mad.
Yeah, dude, I was furious, and I'm still in the dark. Like, I still don't know if that was if he called his own play.
100%.
Oh, Matt,
Brandon Kennedy kind of told on him.
I mean, the video told on him.
Yeah,
it was obvious.
Everything did.
Next segment, I'm going to lay out exactly what happened.
Yeah,
Matt. So you just keep listening. I got you covered.
All right, cool, man. Hey, look, I'll tell you guys, it's the maddest I've been watching a Tennessee game in probably about 2.5-3 years, and that's a good thing. So, and whoever said it this second, I don't know if it was Houston. Who said it a second ago with he's one of us now, Coach Pruitt?
Yeah, that was
Houston.
Houston.
Okay.
We sound
so,
like.
Yeah, you guys do.
Shut up, Matt.
You both have sexy voices.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I'm kidding, by the way. But yeah, dude, he's three timeouts, freaking amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, my wife was sitting there like, that is so annoying. I'm like, yeah, it's freaking awesome. I don't care if they made the field goal. It was.
Oh, I didn't either. I was like, but I did say we were over to Elkmont. I was like, if he misses this, Pruitt for president, because this is a low, petty, just I hate you guys, and I'm gonna make you suffer through these three timeouts. And then he missed it. Oh, it felt so good.
It did, man. It did. And he's, you know, it builds on what's gonna happen next year. Because I'm telling you, they come up to Tennessee next year, and these guys keep getting better because they're showing improvement every game, which is good. I'll be on board, man, if these guys keep playing like this for sure. And I don't care if we just get five wins. If they can be competitive and play hard, which is what they're doing, dude, I'll root for them all day long. Mm-hmm. That's all I ask, man. And they're getting better. They really are. But, yeah, dude, I think you can't – if JG sees the field again, man, that could be something that just would turn me off completely. He's got to sit, and you got to, like, put in – I don't care if Shroud's got to play, or even I've heard a lot of people talking about putting what's his name at receiver?
Jenny. Yeah.
At quarterback. I'm not opposed to it, man. Did he really come in and set that play up and just call it and run it on his own?
Talking about Garantano?
JG came, Jenny came in. It was a scramble play, and everybody was kind of all discombobulated. And it looked like he got everybody settled, got the play call set.
Yeah, I mean, he called it. They sent it in from the sideline.
Yeah, I think everyone else maybe didn't expect it, Matt. And so he was just kind of field general. I'm the leader. Get set. Do this. And then he motioned. Was it Pope? He goes, let's go. He like quickly motioned Pope. He wasn't out there for any BS.
They've had that package in with him since before the Georgia State game. Like they've had him running stuff like that. So he knew what to do. They sent in the signal from the sideline. He got him set and ready to ride.
Well, it's a well coached game, guys. I mean, the defense looked great. We got some pressure even on Tua. We got him all scrambled. I mean, people were saying if you can just get some pressure on him, he'll throw picks, and he did. How in the world did Nigel get chased down from behind?
He's slow as Christmas, man.
He's not that slow. Those two guys also probably run 4.3.
He's the fastest kid in the world. Fastest kid in the world.
I was cringing a little bit on that one. Well, guys, look, it was. I don't know what more you could say. The refs, dude, were the. Who was it that got the call, the personal foul? Was it Wanye?
Personal foul.
Taylor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, when he's just getting up.
Yeah, so, look, man, they got to call that. Like, he laid on top of the guy way too long. He's got to know better in that situation. It's kind of like he just laid there pancaking him for about 4 or 5 seconds. Then he got up and did. I'm not saying he pushed down on him. The refs didn't have to call it, but you can't even put yourself in a situation there in Alabama. Those refs are going to call that all day long. You know they're looking for crap like that. He's got to know that.
Well, and you definitely, Matt, I agree with you to an extent. I don't think it should have been a penalty. I don't think they would call that on Alabama if the roles were reversed. But it's third down. You just got to stop. You just roll off the guy and stand up and walk to the sideline. You got a good hit. Like you did. You didn't get the sack, but you forced a bad throw. You planted him in the turf. You're getting the ball back in a one-score game. Just roll off the guy, stand up, and go to the sideline. I don't think it should have been a penalty, but he could have avoided it as well.
He could have. And that was the gameplay. That changed the whole – that was it. That was the game right there. Because when that happened, you had the momentum. You had everything going for you. You stop them there. You come back down and score. It's a one-possession game then. And that just – after that, man, it ruined it. The holding call was bad. Everything else was bad. But him doing that – and I'll get out of here, guys. But I don't fault him for laying on top of him. I think it's kind of a dirty move, and that's what Tennessee has to. I like the fact these guys are playing dirty.
Got an edge.
There was a lot of hard hits in that game, man. These guys are playing. It's pretty good, man.
No, they're getting better. I mean, I know they. I can't remember who it was, which player said it, but I mean, they really do seem like they're close, right? I mean, it really feels. I mean, they played well against Mississippi State. Played better against Alabama than I think just about anybody would have guessed, and now you're free of the unwinnable games. Now you've got a stretch of games that you can win. I mean, the rest of the games on the schedule are winnable. South Carolina, winnable. Missouri proving that they are beatable when they lost at Vanderbilt over the weekend. Sorry, Nate. UAB, obviously. Kentucky, Vanderbilt. I mean, I know Mason got all excited after that win, but they're not a very good team. Like,
the schedule's still, actually even easier than we thought it would be.
Yeah, it's still all in front of you, especially with the Missouri loss. I mean, we know how bad Vanderbilt can be. And now, to Billy's point from the preseason, like, is Missouri realizing now, oh, we're not going to go to a bowl game? Is this whole season?
Okay, I got questions on that. Maybe it's for later. But twice ESPN people talked about Missouri like they could go to Atlanta. Can they go to Atlanta?
No.
I mean, they can't now. Well, could they have gone to Atlanta, though, and then not gone to a bowl game?
No. Unless.
Are you sure? Certain,
yeah. No, some people are saying that perhaps the postseason ban could get lifted.
So they're still just trying.
There's maybe an appeal still in, so they're thinking maybe they could. And I was wondering if maybe they got the word this week that, like, no, it's upheld. And that was why they laid an egg against Vanderbilt. Nah. And they just haven't made it public yet. Because it felt like, that feels like a game the team realized they can't go to a bowl and the season's pointless.
Dude, I watched a lot of that game. It was, it was atrocious.
I didn't get to watch it, but I saw you tweeting about it. Like, only Barry Odom could walk into Vanderbilt Stadium and roll out a team favored by whatever it was, double digits, and completely look like they don't care or have a clue.
I mean, all they had to do is line up and run the football, and they refused to do that. Derek Dooley kept trying to run this really weird crap.
Dooley.
And then their defensive players just, like, they just did not feel like tackling.
Jogging.
Yeah. They just kind of, I mean, they need to get the football back with like 7 minutes to go, and Vanderbilt basically just sort of like ran out the clock because they just would not tackle Keyshawn Vaughn. He just kept just running and running and running and running. Anyway, we'll come back. We're doing it next. It's Garantano, over the top, fumble.
Can you call it over the top?
No. I don't.
Good movie, though. You ever seen Over the Top?
The ball went over the top.
The ball did go over the top. Yeah.
You ever seen Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone?
No.
Where he's an arm wrestler?
I don't think. No, I haven't.
Truck driver. Arm wrestler. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's been a minute.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. This segment brought to you by MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. That's a different thing altogether.
I know, it just sounds good.
Tennessee covered, hopefully. Hopefully, if you bet on this game, you had the Vols. That number was huge for Alabama.
I didn't bet, but I had them.
Yep, me too.
So did you.
Mm-hmm.
These two idiots. No cover.
I went 3-1 on the week. I'm fine with it.
It was a good week for all of us. I think everyone went 3-1.
Billy had a
brutal week. Oh, he did get two right, though? That's pretty good.
We all took Florida and Oregon.
I'm still alive in the NFL.
You guys did.
Round one eliminator.
Oh, we all.
Wow, really?
Florida.
Took the Packers. Got the dub.
Yeah, good call. All right, it's time to do it. It was 28-13. There was, I've got my game film here paused at 7:52. Clock running in the fourth quarter. The lead, Alabama 28, Tennessee 13. That's the score. The lead is 15. Tennessee has it third down and goal from the two. The wide receivers check out. The big boys check in. We got Kayron Calvert lining up at tight end to the bottom of the screen.
Jumbo.
We got Dom and Pope, I think, both in the football game at the top. And Billy, who's the fullback? We got Pope's the fullback, right? And Crouch is at tailback, dotting the I formation as Jarrett Garantano gets under center. And what you might be wondering is, wait, are you describing third down and four or fourth down? Well, I'm describing both, because here's what happened.
Maybe second and first down too. We ran it four times.
Appreciate that wide receiver's in on second down that checked out. Because it's going to third down. They snap the football. Pope goes left. Crouch goes left. Trey Smith pulls. Kayron Calvert tries to block down along with Trey Smith pulls. Wanye and Kayron block down. Crouch gets hit at about the 1.5 yard line. Keeps his feet moving, turns it all the way down to the half-yard line.
He's a beast.
The game broadcast goes right to Jeremy Pruitt because it's now fourth and goal from inside the one. He says a few different things, and I really tried hard to read his lips. I can't tell what most of it is, but I could have swore at one point Saturday night, I thought I saw him say, run it again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that means, like, run the football again, Jim Chaney. You can call a different play if you want, but obviously we're inside the one. I want us to pound this in somehow. Like, run the football again on fourth down. Or, and I think this is even more likely now that we know all the details, run it again means, hey, call it again. Fire. Let's go. Because this is exactly what happened. I don't know if it was Pruitt's call or Chaney, but this is 100% what happened. The sideline sends in, same play, line up, do it now. And Jesse Simonton had posted this too. I'm sure he was down there. Like, Tennessee never even really got into a real huddle. I know Brandon Kennedy said, well, there was one call in the huddle. When he says in the huddle, he means kind of figuratively. Like, the call came in, same play, line up, do it now. It's a hot call. It's a same play, fast, before they're set.
Yeah.
And let's surprise them and do it. You can tell because as soon as it goes away from Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, he even said, you can see right there at the end of it, one sentence, you know, again, should we do it again? Run it again. They hustle to the line. You see Wood Anderson kind of get set. You see Kayron Calvert has to come to the other side of the formation. He's the last one to get set. And we've seen all the scouts. Like, Trey Wass did a great job splicing it up or at least pulling that from somebody. The quarterback sneak by Brian Maurer in the first half. Mm-hmm. There's no pulling. Everybody just wedges in there. Touchdown.
Yep.
Third down in the same formation with the same personnel. Trey Smith pulls, kicks out, fullback in the hole, tailback through the hole, right there trying to score off of your right behind the butt of your best offensive lineman, your best run blocker, off the left side. Everybody on fourth down does exactly the same thing except for your quarterback, Jarrett Garantano, who decides on his own, and now that I'm looking at where Brandon Kennedy's got the football, I mean, it's inside the half-yard line. I mean, this is like a – you're at the one-third yard line here. Everybody runs the same play on third down as they ran on fourth down, except for Jarrett Garantano, who for some inexplicable reason
– no, you know exactly what it was.
Decides he's going to try and jump over the pile.
He just wanted to be – he wanted to be the hero.
To score the touchdown. And he's not even close because you can't go over the pile when your left guard pulls because the guy that's over the left guard is going to knock you in the face. And he does. And he fumbles. And, of course, it's picked up in the end zone and returned 100-and-something yards for an Alabama touchdown.
Is the rule in college, if you fumble it forward, like let's say you fumble it in the end zone, and another guy on your team recovers it, does the ball come back to the original spot? Because I know in the NFL, if you fumble it forward, only the guy who fumbled it can recover it.
That's only on, even in the NFL, that's only on fourth down. It's only under 2 minutes.
Okay.
So that was in play for Titans Chargers, and it's in play on other fourth downs. And this is fourth down here. I'm pretty sure they have that same fourth down rule in college. One in stripes can maybe weigh in. You'll see the guys on fourth down do this little like reverse false start symbol. It's like a forward rolling thing, and that's the officials letting each other know. Reminder, it's fourth down. They can't fumble this thing forward. It's basically like all fourth down rules apply here. Make sure we, you know, apply them correctly. Because the last thing you want to do is make a bad call that you have to correct after a fourth down when the fans think it's gone one way, you call it the wrong, you know what I mean. You don't want to call a touchdown and then have to go, oh, yeah, by the way, it's not a touchdown. You can't. So, yeah, on this play, I'm not even sure if can Garantano even recover it for a touchdown if he fumbles in the end zone?
Yeah, I thought he could. I think he can. Just him.
But let's say, like, Kayron Calvert can't run in there and fall on it for a touchdown. It would go back to where he fumbled it and be Alabama's football because it's fourth down. So, anyway, yeah, Garantano tries. I mean, he doesn't even get off the ground. I mean, no. Like, he's raising his upper body as he gets hit and the ball is loose. It's not even close.
Well, it's because it wasn't blocked for a sneak.
That wasn't the play. I mean, that's what happened. That's 100% what happened. And then after the fact, Garantano coming to the sideline.
Oof.
A lot of people, the first thing, and you don't see this, a lot of people have gone back to the actual play, and they'll watch what Jeremy Pruitt yells at Jarrett Garantano coming off the field. There's a replay later in the game, and I'll have to find this because I want to kind of pause it and have it. There's a replay later in the game where they cut to a camera that had Pruitt before they cut. Basically, there was a camera on Pruitt the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to pull that video feed and show earlier. The first
kinda
thing
like Pruitt, the Tua camp.
Yeah, the first thing Pruitt does is he's got his hands out like this, and he just yells as Garantano just starts over, "What the F were you are you doing?"
And then I think he says, Who told you to sneak? Or who told you to bleep and sneak?
And then what I saw, and you can see it right after on the original, like, aftermath, right before the little one-fingered face mask touch.
I can't believe that became a thing.
He points at him and almost pokes him in the chest, but doesn't touch him. And in my opinion, as I read Jeremy Pruitt's lips, what I see is, that's your last effing chance. A lot of people said that's him asking, like, who told you to sneak it? But you don't ask a question pointing at somebody and almost hitting them in the chest. Almost poking them in the chest. It makes no sense. And he never came back in this football game. Now, we got all week to get into this. A lot of people are like, well, he'll still start against South Carolina. He's your only chance to win if Brian Maurer can't play. I mean, that we got all week for that one.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some info on that today.
And it really doesn't matter. Like, if Jeremy Pruitt can mean that's your last chance in this game, he can mean that's your last chance ever. We may see him never take another snap.
Could you imagine the fan base if he is trotted out there as a starter against South Carolina?
That would be bad.
It's almost worse. It's a home game than that.
Yep. I mean, for the people that were like, all right, buying into Pruitt a little bit more after that coaching performance, which I thought
But what are your options, though? I mean, there's no other option. No. Not after what I saw.
You got a player that won't run the play.
No, you're right. At that point, yeah, you just can't play him.
I mean, you have a player that basically said, yeah, coach, I know better than you.
I don't think it was a I know the secret play. I think it was if anyone's going to score here, it's going to be me. It wasn't a I know better. It was a I'm not letting anyone else do this but me. I'm going to be the hero. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to make a play. And he's like, this is just Jarrett Garantano. Like, this is what happens when he does that.
So if that's the case, and which I think everyone in this room believes JG went rogue. And that's what the evidence suggests.
You don't
suggests.
Even have to believe it.
I know,
it's
okay,
a fact.
But I'm just saying.
He went rogue for – you can debate the reason why he went rogue, but he definitely went rogue.
Well, JG goes rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the atmosphere for the team itself if he does that and you trot him back out as the starter.
Look on Brandon Kennedy's face. The poor kid who lost all the last season, who came from freaking Alabama and had a chance to cut it to a one-score game.
Yeah, trying to push it in to make this a thing.
Right. I mean, his face is just like he's been the man in the freaking arena, and he's got his quarterback there with that dumb little baby, like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, as Coach Pruitt's, pulling on the face mask and just losing his mind, and I just felt for Brandon Kennedy. Somebody actually tweeted me, I kind of feel sorry for JG. Feel sorry for Brandon Kennedy!
I saw a lot of people saying
feel sorry for Trey Smith!
All the people on the...
Feel sorry for Juwan Jennings!
The national media were like, oh, no one feels worse about... that play than Jarrett Garantano.
Bull-bleep.
No, it's because they didn't know. They thought Jeremy Pruitt is undressing him for getting stopped on a sneak. It's like, no, he's not getting undressed for being stopped on a sneak. He's being undressed because he ran a different play than the other 10 guys on the field because he wanted to be... Take it back and you eat.
You can't question the blue check marks, Houston. They're right. They're always right.
He ran a different play.
Flag.
He called his own number,
which is very confusing to me, though.
Why? What is confusing? What has led you to believe that he's a good leader?
No, but he's never tried to play hero before. Like he's right. Like he's never called his own number.
We don't know.
I'm not disputing that.
We don't really know.
He didn't go rogue. I'm not disputing that at all. But it baffles me that this was the time that he finally decided, hey. I'm gonna like be a leader. I'm gonna play hero here.
Well, it doesn't get down to the goal line that much, and it's not against the number one ranked team in the country on ESPN.
I mean, the only other plausible option is that he looked over and he looked at the wrong guy sending in the signals, and for some reason that guy signaled sneak, and the other guy signaling rerun the play. But even that doesn't make any sense because it's a hot call. You don't even need in that situation, you don't do dummy calls because it's going to be snapped so fast. You can't, like, if Alabama steals the signal for they're running the same play, by then you've already snapped it. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm with you,
like,
but we don't know that.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Here's the other piece of it from earlier in the football game and later, for that matter. Well, no, not later because this was the last snap. Earlier in the football game, it became evident, and I just hadn't been looking for this throughout the season. I wish I would have. But Jerick Garantano apparently has not been making the right decisions on the RPOs all year, which is supposed to be a big part of this offense. You got Ozavet or whatever, and then Chaney comes in. We talked about how are they going to kind of pair up their philosophies. When Brian Maurer runs the RPOs, Tennessee's offense just went right down the field in Alabama, a la Joe Burrow and LSU and how they've had a great season on offense, a la Tua Tagovailoa and how Alabama puts other teams' linebackers in a bind. That was Alabama's weakest position on defense is inside linebacker. I was talking to a guy at a party Friday night, Alabama fans. He's like, people don't realize we're on our third string two inside linebackers. One's a transfer, one's a true freshman, and they benched one guy last week. We're on our fourth string guy. Tennessee took advantage of that with Maurer in the game. A few times, Garantano handed the ball off, and they flashed to Winkie or Pruitt or whoever, and they're like yelling at him, throw the ball, what are you doing? That was a completely wrong read. And there was another play where he faked the ball, went to throw it, couldn't throw it because it was the wrong read. He should have handed it off, and then tried to run and got like a yard because he's slow as damn Chris. I don't know if he's been trying to play hero ball in RPOs all season. We just don't notice. And that's why he gets caught holding the ball, because he should have handed the ball off as the linebackers played coverage, but instead he wants to throw it and be the guy. So he fakes the handoff, goes to throw it, and he's like, oh, crap, now everybody's covered. Now he's stuck and getting sacked and blindsided and fumbling the football.
It's frustrating. We're all there. I do wish kind of when you had that goal line stand, you would have tried to draw something up besides just running it closer up the middle for the three plays up until when you fumbled it.
You got down to the half yard line, and if he hands it off to Crouch, it's a touchdown. I don't care if it takes one play or four, just get it in the end zone. And they had it. They had it right. Pope, Trey, and who was that Wanye? I mean, they all blocked perfectly. If he turns around
and
hands that ball to Crouch, he walks in untouched.
It was weird. Did you pick this up on the video? Calvert was the end guy on third and goal.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, he's on the opposite side of the field and has to run back to his position.
Yeah, it's because he's going to check out of the game. He's not sure.
Right. I know. That kind of helps me with my I wish he would have called a timeout point.
Well,
he got over there on time and blocked fine. I don't know why you're so dead set on them calling a timeout.
They should have called a timeout.
Nate's point of Jerick Garantano maybe playing hero the whole season proves my point even more.
Whether it was the whole season or not, it was definitely right there.
Yeah, and if you don't trust him, then call a timeout and make sure that he runs the right play.
How do you not trust a quarterback to hand the football off on a run play?
He's just done it three times in a row.
Everything that we've said this whole season.
And you're
going to
need those timeouts.
He shouldn't be the quarterback.
But he wasn't until the guy got hurt.
But you're not going to need those timeouts if you don't score the points anyway.
But they ran the right.
I'm not trying to blame Pruitt, and I know it's sounding like I am. Just in those situations, I just want to make sure that we are going to score the football,
and we are
going to make the.
If
right
one
play.
Guy does exactly what he was told to do instead of just deciding to get the snap and jump up in the air, it's a touchdown. That's not on Pruitt.
I'm not trying to.
No, I know. I understand. I'm just saying, the problem here is that you have a quarterback who probably thought he was going to come in and have a huge year and go to the NFL and ha ha ha, look at me. Everyone hated me and now I'm good. He's had maybe the worst season of any quarterback ever. Gets benched. Last week comes in, throws, I don't know, the easiest passes in the world, with the exception of the one to Keaton. That was a pretty good ball. Gets the win. And then it is called on again. I don't know if he thought he had the magic touch after last week. I don't know if this was just no one's going to outshine me on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if – I mean, I've seen other quarterbacks do this before where they just get the snap and quick jump over. I think Breeze did it once. I mean, there have been quarterbacks that do that, and I think he wanted it to be him. But the difference is most of those quarterbacks, it's usually already a sneak call, or they see something that allows them to think, yes, a sneak here makes perfect sense because there's no one lined up over the center. They don't have a linebacker sitting in the A-gap. Like, there wasn't any of that.
Yeah, so don't have a guard pulling, too.
Right, yeah. Like, everyone was right in front of him. It was stacked up. There was no reason to run the sneak. And that's actually perfect for the play because everyone being stacked up right there in the middle, if you're running off left tackle – that means there's two guys that aren't going to be over there. And everyone else does their job. You go back and watch Crouch. He takes one step and then kind of cocks his head sideways like, whoa, whoa, What are you doing? And then next thing you know, number seven has picked up the ball and is screaming around the line of scrimmage down the sideline. Like he'd made it about himself, which is what he's done since he's been here. It's always been about him pouting on the sidelines against Georgia Tech, beating his chest every time he throws a touchdown. That's what he does. It's about him.
Just going back to the point Nate was making about their linebackers were kind of inexperienced. They've been struggling because they've had a lot of injuries there. I kind of wish on that drive, I know JG does the right thing. You score on fourth down. On first or second down, I kind of just wish you would have put Juwan Jennings back there and done like a Tebow jump pass. Because, I mean,
yeah, there's like 1,000 plays. I guess I would have rather, but I just wanted to hand the ball off for the touchdown. Like I get it. There's 1,000,000 plays they could have called that might have worked, but they called 4 that would have gotten you a touchdown if one guy just runs it.
I'm just saying take the ball out of JG's hands before you even get to that point.
I mean, you can't just not have a quarterback play. I mean, you have to.
You can.
That's why they wouldn't throw the ball. They were trying to take it out of his hands.
Yeah, they didn't want to make a decision other than just hand the damn thing off.
They didn't throw it.
I'm so out on him, I don't even want him touching the ball being in the game.
Yeah, but you didn't know he couldn't hand the ball off.
Yeah, well, Jennings probably can't take one under center and doesn't know the run stuff. Like, he has to be the guy to hand the ball off. And he can't even do that.
I mean, I just watched it again. Pruitt absolutely says that's your last effing chance.
It should be.
A lot of people are going to say, well, you have to play against South Carolina. It's your best chance to win. Billy said it a while back. He'd rather see 22 freshmen and just lose than if you're going to lose with guys that won't play the right way. What's that Larry Brown used to say about basketball? Play the right way. Like, if you're Nigel Warrior, you're in the right spot, you make the interception, you're just slow and can't score, okay. You still played the right way. You still were where you're supposed to be.
I mean, Matt said it on the phone. This team's playing a whole lot better. He's bought into Pruitt.
Everyone but one.
I mean, 10 players ran that play. You know it's not a sneak call because Crouch doesn't come up. Crouch is like, what the hell? Pope goes left.
No,
and
that's
then
what I'm
like,
saying.
Oh, God, what's going on?
I didn't even notice Trey pulling it first.
Yeah,
I saw was Crouch take 2 steps like he's going to get the ball and then pause like, wait a minute. If it was a sneak, he'd run up and start pushing.
Yeah.
Or at least run up and hit somebody.
Right.
I think he thought JG fumbled the snap. So he's kind of standing there like, oh, no, what? And then
the ball's gone over
it's bounced 3
over the
yards back
in
into the end
direction.
Zone into the hands of number 7. And then Crouch, and God what, bless him.
What, I know. Poor,
has to run 100 yards just to
poor,
try to catch that
poor
idiot.
Crouch. I mean, I can see him running and him thinking what they yell at him all summer. You know, never stop, never quit on a play. He's laying it all out there for no freaking reason. Because it is poor coaching to have to allow one player to ruin your season the way Jeremy Pruitt's allowed Jarrett Garantano to ruin the season. It is. And for you guys that tried to say, oh, well, we would be 4-2 with Jarrett Garantano, because Jeremy Pruitt agreed with me. I don't know if you heard him. He admitted to the broadcasters,
yep,
if we have better quarterback play, we'd be 4-2. So Jeremy Pruitt agrees with everyone out there who says, if we had a different quarterback, we'd be 4-2, 4-3 after this game.
Maybe 5-2.
I mean, that's pretty telling. When your head coach in a meeting with the broadcast crew, apparently that's when Pruitt gives all the good details, because during the game they'll say, yeah, Pruitt told us this week that, and it's the answer to the question everybody asked.
Well, I
all
missed
week.
It. I couldn't hear in the restaurant, but apparently Jim Chaney told him that, yeah, JG has a history of running the wrong play. Now, Billy, I know what you're about to say. I don't think he didn't run the wrong play. He chose to run his own play. He knew the play and just didn't want to run it. But I'm guessing there's a history of him either checking out of something he doesn't like or whatever.
Well, if you call a timeout.
But this isn't a check. This isn't an audible. No. This is just I'm going to be the hero and dive over the top.
If you call a timeout, you have to run something different. The only way it works to run the same play again is if you hurry to the line and you just snap and go. And it worked. It wasn't bad play calling. It wasn't a bad decision by the coaches. It was your quarterback didn't execute. There it is. That's your last effing chance. And he grabs
a little tug.
I can't believe people were freaking out about that. I remember Lou Holtz grabbing guys like...
Walking him. He leads him like a dog off the field. Jimbo Fisher did it last year in A&M's opener. Just shakes the guy's head. He did it at Florida State a bunch. Muschamp did it at Florida a few times. And they grab and shake. This is just a little like... It's like he just kind of hooks the bottom of the face mask. I mean, he gets hit in the head harder than that by players on the other team and no flags called. I can't believe people are on Pruitt for this. No, it doesn't matter. Not to mention, your quarterback just cost you the game because he wanted to be the hero.
He's costing you a whole season.
He really has. And I get it. If you know, I don't think they thought Maurer was ready. I think they probably thought JG would be a little bit better. He has absolutely just ramrodded this entire season.
Yep.
Like, all of your losses to this point.
Poor Brandon Kennedy. I'm watching again. Just standing there with his mouth just open. He's not even wearing his helmet. I mean, they always wear their helmets on the sideline. I think that's like a rule, but he's like, screw it. And
he's
just
like, what are you doing, man?
What the hell happened? And he said it in the post game. We had one play called in the huddle. I don't know what happened after that. Because they're just blocking. I mean, they don't know what happened.
I got to put that on coaching to an extent.
Yeah. I mean, there's some level.
What?
You've been here 2 years. You got if he ain't gonna cut it, you got to get another quarterback. Have somebody else ready.
They did. He got hurt. What are you talking about?
Well, if you're that out on him and you're saying like JG Cheney's making those comments where he's cost you other times where he's just gonna run a different player. He doesn't know it. All these issues that we've seen come together for Jared Garantano.
It was the wrong decision.
I'm blaming the coaching for not having somebody else prepared and having somebody else
they
out there
did.
Earlier.
He got hurt. Trout clearly isn't ready. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman.
It was the wrong decision.
There's no other option.
It was the wrong decision exactly. To all summer try and they had two. There's two ways they could have played this at quarterback. One is what they did. They tried to get behind Garantano. They said, if we'll just we need to build up his confidence. He's the most talented like thrower out of this group this year. We need to build him up. We need to get him ready. We need to coach him up. He can do it. He's kind of like a rescue option. We got to give him some TLC. We got to build him up. Jim Chaney's gonna come in here, give him some real easy reads. Jim Chaney's got a history of helping quarterbacks be a lot better. And they went that route. The other route would be, we got to put a lot of tough love on this kid. We got to create competition. We got to tell him that if he doesn't perform, we're going to pull him and put the other guy in.
No, they're afraid they'd lose depth.
And that's not the way
they
went.
Leave.
That's not the way they went, and it was the wrong decision. And I think Jeremy Pruitt would even admit that.
I'm not saying it might have been the wrong decision. I just don't think there was another one. Not Saturday night there wasn't.
Well, I think Davey's talking about more of the whole season. You're talking about the game. And that's
I'm saying like even before the season, you got to go out
and
get it.
And what I'm saying is I don't think Maurer was ready.
Well, it's hard too because you don't know it's going to be this bad.
That's not, yeah, that too.
Like, there's a lot of hindsight.
The
there.
First two games, yeah, he, you know, threw some picks and you lost those games. But the defense wasn't playing great either. Like, it's kind of a double whammy there. But I agree. I mean, if you have better quarterback play, if you have the uninjured Brian Maurer play that we've seen from him, you're 4-3 at worst.
I mean, you guys heard the same thing I did about how Cheney felt about JG back in the spring. He's like, yeah, this guy's. He's
no
not
leadership.
Be able to get it done.
No leadership.
Yeah,
didn't trust him,
and we don't, and we'll never know. We'll never know if Jim Cheney went to Pruitt multiple times and said, "Listen, I know Garantano seems like the best option for us, but long term it'd be better if we just went ahead with these young guys." And Pruitt's like, "No, I still believe in him. I'm the head coach." Maybe that happened. Maybe it didn't. Mm-hmm. We'll never know. We'll never know what Winkie's opinion is of the quarterback room, Cheney's opinion of the quarterback room, or Pruitt's opinion of the quarterback room, and if all three of those guys are on the same page. Two versus one, all three different. Did they all just agree to? Who knows? I don't know. Maybe once they're all gone from here in 20 years, they can come back and tell the story of 2019 Tennessee football. But it sure seemed like Jared Garantano's story, the final chapter, might have been written Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. We'll come back, final segment, hour two. If you want to weigh in at 865-546-8200 is the number. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. It's a good point by you, Houston, in the break.
His body language sold it.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't run over there like, I got the wrong call. Oh, my gosh.
Why didn't y'all block the sneak? It was the sneak.
No,
why didn't you block the sneak?
He ran over there like a dog who had just messed in the house and got caught.
I just
okay, yeah, it didn't work. I tried to call my own number. I'm sorry.
Hear your name on the PA to go to the principal's office.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no.
I just confirmed again on the replay that he says that's your last effing chance. Because Pruitt, after he says that, if he had said, why did you run the sneak, he would have waited for an answer. When he says that, he tugs the face mask and he turns away. Like, that was him making a statement, not a question.
Yeah.
So he might have said, why'd you run the sneak also? He definitely said, what the F are you doing? first, very first. That's not on. You have to wait till later in the game when they go back. Because the how about the announcers?
Haven't even gotten to that.
Well, first of all, let's talk positives first for the announcing crew. In the Florida South Carolina game, I'll start there. They just went all in on the officials.
They did,
which
I
loved.
It was nice, yeah.
I loved, because I hate when the officials are blatantly just atrocious and the announcers keep just glossing it over because they don't want to mess up the relationship.
Like in the Tennessee game.
In the Tennessee
game.
Except
for that one guy who was like, oh, because we're in Tuscaloosa.
That was McShay, right? I think from the field.
From the field.
Yeah, they had McShay and Molly McGrath on the sidelines for the Alabama game.
Cigars, cool.
Yeah, well, that's the negative.
Would they have done that if we won, maybe?
Well, it was weird because we were talking about it last week. They had Molly McGrath on the night.
No, it was the Stanford game. Yeah.
Promoting this game.
And it was our team that said, this doesn't look like a championship caliber Alabama team.
And then apparently Juwan also doubled down on that because it was a defense player that said that the first time.
Interesting.
I mean, they weren't wrong.
No, they're not.
No, could have beat them.
Without Tua, they're pedestrian at best.
Without Tua, Alabama looked like one of those mid-bowl SEC teams I talk about, where some weeks they can look pretty damn good, and then other weeks they just look, just can't even move the football. Mac Jones looked like a damn walk-on at quarterback. But the announcers, I thought it was good that they kind of looked for why. They asked themselves, obviously, during the commercial break, why would Pruitt get that upset with Garantano trying to go over the top on fourth down? Who cares if you fumble on fourth down? Going over the top's is a viable option. We see it every week. Mm-hmm. On fourth down, that's when you try to go over the top, because who cares if you fumble? So I was happy that they looked for more evidence. They said, wait a minute, let's see. And they came back later.
Well, it was all the small brain people like, oh, I can't believe he's undressing him on the sidelines because he fumbled. It's like, that you're so dumb. Like use a brain. What are you talking about? He's not mad that he fumbled. He's mad that he called his own shot. Like, he did something that no one else was doing.
And the announcers, at least,
Did they ever settle on that? Like,
oh, yeah, no, 100%. Okay, yeah, okay. They said, yeah,
I think
he
I
went
muted
rogue.
It or threw my remote at my television at that point.
Yeah, they said Jared Garantano went rogue. Now, in the post game, Jeremy Pruitt backed off of that, and they basically tried to circle the wagons. Brandon Kennedy did say, yeah, there was one play called, and after that, I don't know what happened. Poor Trey Smith. He got asked like three times. Like, you pulled on that play. That wasn't a sneak, was it? And he was like, I don't feel comfortable giving away our play calls. I mean, poor kid. I mean, having to take
credit to everybody else for not just, I mean, golly, you kind of want a code red or something like
that. That's what I thought.
I mean, I
watched that movie a couple weeks ago, too.
Well, I was thinking of the other Code Red. I was thinking of Full Metal Jacket, where they hold him into bed and hit him with the soap socks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how this team did not just bury him shows, in my opinion, a lot of character by a lot of leaders on this team.
Wonder if they'll tape the football to his hands while they give him his Code
damn,
Red.
Damn popcorn. Shouldn't have had that popcorn.
Maybe blindfold him with a copy of the playbook.
How do you handle this now if you're Pruitt, though? I mean, I'm with you, guy. At the moment I realized what happened Saturday night, I was like, or maybe that was Sunday, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Time. I mean, I was just like, you can't play him again. You just can't. He cannot see the field. And then I thought about South Carolina. I was like, well, could this be the moment that reins him in?
This is my Norman Dale moment. This is what I do. I know we're almost up against the
hour. You're going to play 10 guys? No quarterback?
I will play 10 guys before I play Jared Garantano. This is my Norman Dale moment. You said it earlier in the show. Pruitt's your guy now. Went to Tuscaloosa, the place that caused all the heartache that he's from. It's the mountaintop. That's where you want to get back to, is where this game is a 50-50 game.
In the fourth quarter,
every
and
damn
it was.
Time. Mm-hmm. And Pruitt and this team played with that type of emotion that will get you there if you get better players and you coach a little better. So I've got the credibility I need now if I'm Jeremy Pruitt. Who cares if I make a bowl game this season? Like, I'm probably not going to make it anyway. If I roll out Jared Garantano against South Carolina, I might still lose. In fact, there's a very high likelihood I still lose. So why the hell wouldn't I just draw the line in the sand for every freshman and sophomore on that team and say, guys, if you don't obey your coaches at Tennessee, you don't play. Simple as that. I mean, it's the damn military. You follow your orders or get the F out. I mean, I just go tell them to transfer.
You would want me on that wall.
I would. This isn't life and death.
It's
football.
We follow orders or people die. I died when he did that stupid.
Their chances of winning the football game died when that ball hit the turf.
You're GD right, I did.
I'm telling him what to go portal
this?
Up right now.
Portal up.
I'm done. It's over. And you know what? Brandon Kennedy is going to be like, damn straight. Thank you, Coach Pruitt. And he's going to walk in the offensive line room and he's going to say, Wanye and Darnell, you guys got you a football coach. I wish you the best as I leave this place at the end of the year. And I'll block with you for however many games we have left.
Didn't he medical redshirt last year? Doesn't he have one year left?
I don't know. Does he? I don't know.
I think he has 1 year left. He could come back.
Example.
I think.
Maybe.
I'll have to double check that. I thought he had 1 year left.
Is there enough graduate classes? I mean, the guy's going to have like 8 degrees when he leaves here. I guess that's fine. I don't know.
Neil Mafia tweeted earlier that he's having a pretty good little season. Kennedy is. Also,
I'm earning the respect of the football.
I was going to say
listen,
this for
I
Optimism
played for
bas- Tuesday. Hey, real quick.
Go ahead.
Offensive line, thumbs up.
I played.
They got nasty.
I played
night.
For a basketball coach in high school that, God bless him, he tried really hard. I mean, he went to clinics. He learned a bunch of new sets. He tried to teach us all this stuff. I mean, he tried really, really hard. But where he lost the team was when guys wouldn't run the offense, he wouldn't keep them on the bench. He'd bench them for a minute and then he'd put them back in. And our offense would never work because he never was the alpha. He never was the leader. He never was the guy who could just give an order and it be followed every time. You think Nick Saban's players go, yeah, Saban, you called that defense, but I think I'll just cover man-to-man here instead of dropping the zone. Hell no! And Jeremy Pruitt's not that type of coach either.
I also think that some quarterbacks could get away with something like that, but you kind of earn that, and JG ain't earned nothing.
That's like Bear Bryant breaking his own rule for, what's his face? Joe Namath.
Oh, yeah, Namath, yeah.
You know? Yeah, you
can come back.
You can earn it back.
This will be my last year, Ben.
I mean, Jeremy Pruitt said, that's your last effing chance.
Well, we'll see if he meant that.
And a lot of people are saying that's heat of the moment. I hope it's not. It shouldn't be. You got to draw a line at some point.
No, this one's getting worse as we move away from it.